beloved family and friends of Don Hoover. The scripture from Genesis to Revelation demonstrates that man is fallen and he's a rebel against the true and living God. He hates God. He is not searching for God. He is just like Adam when Adam fell in the garden. He is running from God. He wants nothing to do with God. Though he knows that God exists, he denies that truth. He denies the reality. And truth is that which always accords with reality. What is real is true, and what is true is real. And so Adam ran from God along with Eve, and it's the Lord who sought them out. If it would not have been God coming to them, they never would have come to the Lord. Even as we find in 1 John chapter 4, we love him because he first loved us. That's why man returns to God. That's when man seeks after God, is when he is sought by God first and foremost. Man needs to be found. Man is lost. Our world is lost. Our world is in darkness and sin. It is under the wrath and condemnation of God. It can't see its hand in front of its face. The people in this world are blinded to the truth. They have been blinded by Satan to do his will. Paul even said in 2 Timothy 2, they have been taken captive by Satan to do his will. We need reconciliation. We need to be restored to the true and living God. We need to be back in union with him. We need to be adopted. We need to have that sweet fellowship with him, and we're not even seeking it. We don't even desire it. We are running from the Lord on the broad road that leads to destruction. We live by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And our hearts need to be changed. And the blind man doesn't think he's blind, and the hardened man doesn't think he needs a new heart. That's how blind he is to his own sin. So there needs to be that restoring, that reconciliation, that regeneration, that bringing in union with God again. And so the Father in love sent his Son to do that work, to do the work of reconciliation, to do the work of regeneration by the Holy Spirit, to bring a man up spiritually from the dead and give him new life. And infuse new qualities into that man's will. Qualities of love for God. Desire for worship. Reverence to his word. Obedience of wanting and desiring to bow to the Lord of the universe. And that is all simply and solely a work of God's grace in Jesus Christ alone. If you're here this morning, and you're one who is believing and trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is a work of divine grace. God has done that. You have not done that. You have not first sought the Lord, and then the Lord sought you. God came to you. God made you alive. God created faith in your heart. Ephesians 2, faith is a gift from God. It's not of man's works. Man doesn't have a heart for God until the Lord changes his heart by an act of divine grace. So that's what we find here in our text this morning. Jesus is dialoguing here, and oftentimes with the disciples and with the Pharisees, and as he's speaking the truth to them about who has judgment, who passes judgment, who judges all things. We find in John 12 that Jesus told the Pharisees, my word that I spoke to you will judge you in the last day. It'll judge all mankind. You know, how you handle Jesus, how you respond to Jesus, what you think about Jesus Christ is a declaration of whether you are in darkness or you're in light, whether you're in condemnation or you're under the comfort of the grace of God in Christ. It's a demonstration whether you abide in death or you are made alive in Christ Jesus. How you respond to Jesus. And everybody has to deal with Jesus. What are you going to do with the Son of God? The Son of Man. One in one person who is fully God and fully man come to save rebels against the true and living God. What are you going to do with Jesus? You've got to do something with Jesus. And you were either yea and amen, or you are one who is fighting with all of your might against His authority and His dominion. And you are like those that Jesus spoke to who said, we will not have this man to rule over us. You are maybe one who is saying, don't give us Barabbas, or give us Barabbas, don't, Christ, you put him to death. Crucify him. We don't want him. We'll take the murderer and the insurrectionist, but not Jesus. What is your thought of Jesus? How do you respond to Jesus? What do you do with the Christ? And so, Jesus said that it's the Father that raises the dead and gives them life, and even so, the Son does as well. Christ gives life. It's important for us to realize that if you do not have the Son, you do not have the Father. You cannot worship God the Father except through Christ the Son. No man comes to the Father except by me. You're deceiving yourself if you say, I believe in God, but I am not trusting Jesus. You're under deception. So, Jesus and what he's talking here about the life and hearing his word. And it's interesting how he states this, because it's evident that one has life before they're enabled to hear the word. Now, I just want to comment briefly on funerals. Now, I've done near 60 funerals in my time in the ministry, and I've been to a lot of funerals as well. And it seems to me that many pulpits and many in the pew don't understand what a funeral is all about. A funeral is not for me to say nice, sweet things about the deceased. That's not what a funeral is about. For the Christian, we are to glorify God in everything that we do. Whether we eat or whether we drink or whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. And so as we gather to hear the Word of God at a funeral, it's to glorify God for the wonder of salvation in Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the work that he did in the deceased brother. But it's not about the brother, it's about the Lord. It's to honor him. And if you don't understand that, then you better go back and read your Bible. Because then you don't understand what life is all about. You are here, and you are here to glorify him in all of your thoughts, words, and actions. And as believers, we fall woefully short. But that is the aim, and that is the ethic of Scripture, is to exalt Christ in all that we do. And so that is my aim, is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and give thanks to the comfort that the believer can have of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus said. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Notice, most assuredly. The Greek term there, amen, amen, surely it will truly be, is what it means. And he begins with that statement. This is the true word of God. This is going to come to pass. This is going to happen as Christ guarantees it. And this is what he says, that I say to you. Now the you is not plural. The you is singular, and so what he is talking to is, and who he is talking to is every particular individual. So that means right here, right now, he's talking to you, and you, and you, and you. Not as a collective whole, but each individual person. Christ is speaking to you through his word. And he said, he who hears my word. Notice how important it is to be hearing the Word of God. That's not just the outward ear. That is in the inward heart. The Greek term akouamen means it reaches not only through the ear gate, but it goes down into the soul. And it's used as a parallel of hearing and believing. Notice it says, and believes. It's a coordinating conjunction. That brings the hearing and the believing together. The one who truly hears is the one who believes. The one who believes is the one who has faith. And that's the Greek term, pistuo, to believe, to have faith in the Word of God. And so Jesus said, "He who hears." Now, if you belong to a congregation where you're not hearing the Word of God, the Word of God is not preached, the Word of God is not taught, it's not expounded, it's not unfolded, then you need to run. You need to run to a place where you're hearing God's Word. And people today, they don't even know how to make discernments about what church they should belong to. It's not about, oh, they got all fun activities for my kids. It's not about your kids. The fun activities, that's your responsibility as parents. You take them to the fun activities. That's not the church's responsibility. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to raise up your children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. That's your responsibility. Don't pawn that off on the church. The church is a ministry of teaching and proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing that word to the people of God. That's the responsibility of the church. The pastor has a calling to equip the people of God with the Word of God so that we might do the ministry of the church. And the ministry of the church, as outlined by the teaching of Scripture, is proclaiming the gospel to a lost generation. Every generation, as the church is growing, the church is to go out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost ends of the earth and to proclaim the gospel. It's not about fun things. It's not about puppet shows. It's not about programs. It's about proclaiming Christ. And that's how far American Christianity has fallen from the paradigm of Scripture. We're not readers of the Word. We have no idea what the church is all about. We want to come and we want to think it's all about fun things. Maybe they have a coffee bar downstairs. Maybe we can get lattes before we come in. Maybe we get the big screen and contemporary worship and everything that pacifies man. It's not about you. It's about Him. And the question the church always ought to be asking is, does this glorify Christ? Is this pleasing to the Lord? Not, does it pacify man? I care less if man is pleased. Man is always displeased and disgruntled with everything that the church does. Complains and gripes and murmurs about everything that goes on in the church. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like your sermon. I don't like you. It goes on as people are like that. It's sinful. And we've missed it. It's about glorifying Him and hearing His Word. Now, if you're not hearing the Word of Christ, it is an impossibility for the Holy Spirit to work in you. Because the Holy Spirit works in the soul of an individual through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That means it's imperative for the church to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to open up the book. It's not about book reviews. It's not about my vacation. It's not about anything but what God says in His Word. And that means also, you parents, you have an obligation and a responsibility to open the Scriptures to your children. To let them hear the Word, to bring them under the Word, to bring them to worship, to sit in the worship service. Not to play with coloring books and eat their Cheerios and all the other things, but to pay attention and to teach them to pay attention. And they can be taught, and they must be taught, to pay attention to the ministry of the Word. Because Jesus said, those who hear and believe have life. You need to teach your children to run to Jesus. You need to teach your children that the only salvation is Jesus. The only forgiveness is Christ. The only reconciliation is Jesus. There is no life apart from Him. There is life in the Son. He who does not have the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. So Jesus said, you hear my word and you believe. To believe means you're trusting. To believe means you lay hold of that word. You believe it because the Scripture says it. And that settles it for you in your soul. Doesn't matter what the world says. You believe the teaching of God's Word. Men come up with all kinds of things about the Word of God. Oh, it's the word of men. Oh, it was just some ancient Jewish writers that brought together and they were just simply cataloging what the Jewish religion was. Oh, it's just written by men. You demonstrate yourself to be an unbeliever when you say that. Because the believer, the child of God in whom the Holy Spirit works, He draws them to the Word, and it's by the milk of the Word that they have life, and they have it more abundantly, and they desire then more and more. So you believe in Him who sent me. The Father sent the Son, and it's a demonstration that you have everlasting life when you believe. Do you believe? Do you believe this Word? I didn't say, do you understand everything? I don't understand everything. But do you believe that the Bible is God's inspired, infallible, inerrant Word that's sent through apostles and prophets to write down exactly what God would have them to write? And so what they wrote in truth was the Word of the true and living God. Do you believe that? Because how you respond to that is going to be declarative of whether or not you're in the kingdom or outside of the kingdom, whether you're under the grace of God or you're under the wrath of God. How you respond to the Word. Jesus said the hearers are those that hear because the Spirit has worked in them. And they believe because of the work of the Spirit. And they have, it's all in present tense here in the Greek text, they have presently everlasting life. They have eternal life. And it's not just a duration of life. Because in one sense, the unbeliever is going to have eternal life. Everybody's going to live forever. From Adam until the last person that comes in this world, everybody lives forever. The Bible makes that clear. The question is not, does everybody live forever? Everybody lives forever. The question is location. Do you live forever in the comfortable, blissful presence of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever in glory, wonder, and praise and service of Him? Or do you live under the wrath of God in hell, where God is meting out His just justice against His judgment against your sins? Because you have no atoner. You have no atonement. You have nobody that's reconciled you. You have not come to Christ, who alone is the atonement for our sins. That is the comfort of knowing that I hear God's Word and I believe God's Word, and that's not an act of my will. That's the Spirit of God enabling me to believe in the declaration that Jesus gives that I have everlasting life. I have life in the Son. I have a quality of life that begins in this life and will go on throughout all eternity. That joy, the completeness of joy and blessedness and the fulfillment and consummation of all things that Christ has done for His people. Do you have that? That's what happens with the believer. He dies and departs from this world, and it's a dying to sin and an entering into eternal life, awaiting the resurrection of the body, the joy that he will experience. And notice what Jesus said. He is passed. This individual has passed from death into life. He's passed from death, the state of being dead, into a state of life and life everlasting. It's just me, am I hearing something? he passes. Notice the judgment. He shall not come into judgment. That means there's a judgment coming. It's a judgment coming. Do you stand in Christ or do you stand naked? Do you stand of your own? Do you stand in the presence of a holy God naked without the righteous robes of Christ? You're doomed. The believer has passed from that judgment. Why? Because on the cross, Christ bore the judgment of all of His people. He bore the wrath of God against the sins of all that were given to Him. And therefore, we bear our sins no more. No longer. Christ once for all took that judgment. And so, I no longer stand in judgment. I have passed from spiritual death into spiritual life. What a wonder. I've been raised up spiritually. And Jesus said that the hour is coming, and it now is, where the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. This is the spiritually dead. And the spiritually dead hear the voice of the Son of God as the Word of God is proclaimed from the pulpits and from the evangelism of the people of God. And as it goes out into this world, the Son of God makes His voice to be heard. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice and they follow Me. And I know them and I give them eternal life." They don't follow a stranger. They follow the shepherd of the sheep because they know the voice of the shepherd of the sheep. You can come to Me and you can tell Me things of what you believe, and I'll tell you if it's the shepherd's voice. Or I'll tell you if it's the philosophy of the world. If you've drank from the well of God's Word, or you've drank from the well of this world. Because there is a night and day difference between the two. And so, Christ, through His Word being proclaimed, raises up the dead. And that's the question. You know, funerals are not about the dead. It's preaching the Word to the living. And the question is, are you believing? And have you passed from death into life? Are you one whom Christ has bore your judgment? And therefore, you will not come under the judgment of God. Is that you? If it's not, and you're not hearing His Word, you know, it's evident of hearing the Word of God is that you can't get enough of it. You want to hear God's Word. You love to hear God's Word. As newborn babes, you desire the pure milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. You want to continue to keep on hearing the Word. And that's what happens in the life of the believer. The unbeliever is indifferent. He's bored. He doesn't understand. He has no desire, no hunger, no thirst for the living God. And that's a question for each of us, isn't it? Are you hearing and believing, and do you demonstrate yourself to have everlasting life? Now, I can say I had many conversations with Don. He believed the Word. We may have had our differences in what we believed, but he believed the Gospel. He believed that his salvation was not him, but it was Jesus Christ. His hope was not in his performance. His hope was in the work of Christ and that alone. And that's a demonstration of one who has life and that everlasting. Believing and trusting that Jesus is your salvation, your all in all. Is that what you're believing? Because in Him alone, is life. If you're not believing that, you need to cry out to the only Savior and ask Him, beg Him to redeem your wretched soul. That's the only hope, is to look to Jesus. Amen.